could you sum up the outcomes of your publication?
Okay, so then to sum up what we have to say about this collaborative practices article then, what we tried to do is, I wrote this article with two colleagues, myself based at AstraZeneca, a good friend working in Cancer Research UK, and also another long-standing friend working as part of the Medical Research Council Technology Group in London. And between the three of us, we've worked collaboratively on projects where the goal was to deliver medicinal chemistry and to deliver lead series for further evaluation in preclinical models. And having a perspective of working for between 2 and 5 years on various different projects, we felt that that gave us a perspective on collaborating in medicinal chemistry. We felt that in the beginning we'd made some mistakes, and now that we were in a more established relationship, we felt that we'd learned a lot along the way, really. And we were really attempting to share some of the sort of take-home messages from that. And so, you know, some of the points that we draw out in the article is we sort of really understand that a lot has been written about open innovation. And one of the things that we perhaps didn't appreciate when we started was that that communication is a very nuanced subject, in that different groups grow up independently. And we find that we sometimes use very different words to describe the same thing, or indeed we use very similar words to describe very different things. And in our early days of collaborating, that gave rise to misunderstandings and slowness and waste of effort. And one of the things that we've learned is that actually when you're getting together with new partners, just understanding some of the culture with the partner that you're working with, the sort of language that they use for different milestones and different workflows, it may seem time consuming, but actually it really, really pays dividends. The other thing that we recognized is that that we sort of started working in organizations where things like working with compounds, working with novel compounds, and sharing structures with each other. This was something that was new to both organizations. And really, one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to try and deliver a roadmap which would give certainty to scientists who were working on the collaboration projects, so that they could understand where we're sharing compound structures, what the ground rules were, what the assumptions people could make, and what sort of limitations in terms of what could be done with the compounds would be really useful. And then the sort of final learning, I think, from the paper was that that we needed to develop tools that would help us to summarize the progress that was being made in medicinal chemistry and share designs. Again, we work in a very much more fragmented workflow than was the case probably 10 years ago. And just working in one collaboration between AstraZeneca and MRC, we actually realized that we had synthetic chemistry going on in 4 different locations, because there was chemistry being done in AZ and also with AZ CRO. There was chemistry ongoing in MRC and also with MRC's contract research organization as well. And you can imagine that it wasn't very long before actually we had inadvertently 2 chemists attempting to make the same compound for test, which is very frustrating and a waste of time and effort. And so developing tools to track progress and make sure that we've got a common and real-time view of progress, we recognize to be very important. And so so I think the paper that that we're discussing is not intended to be the last word by any means in describing collaborative medicinal chemistry, but it just really describes some steps along the way that we've taken to to try and break down the barriers between organizations and work in a more porous sense.
Will you encourage academics to collaborate more with industry? Which advices will you give them?
Okay, so I would certainly encourage researchers from academia to collaborate with the pharmaceutical industry. I think, again, both academic research in not-for-profit organizations and the pharmaceutical industry, there's been a great evolution of thinking over the last 3 to 5 years in terms of how to work collaboratively. Pharmaceutical industry probably used to think in terms of very monolithic organizations, which started out with high throughput screening activities, developing lead molecules and carrying them all the way through the clinic. And there are still some projects where that may well be the best and the fastest way to deliver a product. But I think the great thing about collaboration is it gives an opportunity to for an organization to tap into strengths that it doesn't have within its own organization. So for the benefit for the pharmaceutical industries, it may enable us to tap into niche areas of science and new creativity that doesn't exist within the boundaries of our organization. And conversely, for academia, there are opportunities to take advantage of economies of scale and industrialization and some of the things that the pharmaceutical industry does do well in terms of taking advantage of highly capital intensive activities. And so, so certainly I think it can be very profitable for researchers from academia to collaborate with pharmaceutical industry. And I think the goal that I would recommend for most people and advice that I would give is that when you're looking to put together a collaboration, really try to ensure that there's a good opportunity for each partner to play to its strengths. And so don't try and make the pharmaceutical industry behave like an academic research group, but equally, I've learned that it's really not a good idea to try to convert academic research into an industrial process, because that's just something that that is rarely appropriate and is often actually counterproductive. But now I think pharmaceutical companies are much more outward looking, and there are opportunities through open innovation platforms that are available. AstraZeneca has an open innovation platform, but so too do companies like Merck Serono and Lilly and GSK and Johnson & Johnson. These are just a few examples of companies that I know to be very active in this sense in Europe and beyond. There are opportunities for academics to gain access to screening capacity and to gain access to compounds for screening to further their research, looking for initial hits or looking for chemical tools to further understand the properties of proteins or biological systems that they are studying. And I think that whereas before the pharmaceutical industry probably had a reputation for very jealously guarding its compound collection, I now think that thinking is changing, and the industry is prepared to be much more open-handed in making its collection available and recognizing that it's a set of diverse chemical equity which is unlikely to be fully utilized by a single organization. And so I think that it's something that is of value. AstraZeneca is an organization, we collaborate with many partners, and we certainly don't seek to collaborate on an exclusive basis. And so we work with institutions where we know that actually that institution is working on rather similar projects with GSK. And actually we've learned to accept the potential risk that exists there. We just recognize that this is just a very changed way of working and compared to perhaps strategic collaborations in the past. And so I think the conclusion is, to me, that we've certainly learned a lot by working in partnership. And it's also given us in the pharmaceutical industry the opportunity to work on targets which we probably wouldn't work on in isolation, because we would look at the risk-benefit profile and we would say, well, actually for an organization which has shareholders to keep happy, this particular biological area, this particular biological target is too high risk. And one of the things that's very clear to us is that that risk-benefit balancing point lies in a different place for academia, because they don't have shareholders to satisfy, and so therefore they are able to do research which is more adventurous in some respects. And what we're trying to learn to do is to actually try and support some of that activity in the hope that we will gain access to some of that technology in the future, that we'll build long-term stable relationships with partners, so that hopefully we can help them by providing access to the tools that we have internally. We can help them provide them with solutions to their early stage problems. And we hope, of course, that that we may represent an exit strategy for them, so that when they get the project to a point where the questions that they're asking in preclinical work or in the clinical phases are of a complexity or a cost to answer that's too great to them, we hope that we'll be their first choice in coming back to us with a potential licensing opportunity. So it's something that I think you with goodwill and with trust and with good communication, it's rarely impossible to forge good collaborations, so long as you've got, I think, good people engaged, good scientists, and a will to collaborate and a will to succeed. And it's something that I've been engaged in for over 5 years within the oncology sector of research, and I'd recommend it to anybody to give it a try.